Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we have been, as Cheryl shared last week, have done things a little bit differently. And to use her word, I think you used the word experimenting. We had Doubting Thomas. We had Offer Your Song, as Hilary addressed us in that wonderful and challenging sermon. Then last week we had Cheryl share with us the 23rd Psalm, and who will ever forget Anna reciting the whole psalm off by heart. So we've been on a journey together. And if you're troubled about the seats, well, they'll be back in the same place next week. And I thought I would come out in the usual place. And I thought I would continue the experiment because you always feel a long way away from everyone when you're up there. So hence I am here. How often have you heard that gospel reading being read? Often? Where?
Funerals.
Funerals? Yes. This reading has brought comfort to millions of people, including people in this congregation. And is probably the second most known reading, apart from the 23rd Psalm. Let me share with you the context. It's a farewell story in the gospel. And it's almost that we're being taken back. Why would we have this reading that has Jesus with his disciples at the Passover for the Last Supper? Why would we be reading that 4 weeks today after Easter? And it's almost as though we're being taken back as a reminder to us about what's got us to this very present day. In the chapter before, we have, in chapter 13, we have the foot washing, and we have a new commandment to love one another. Jesus declares that someone is going to betray him. We know who that was, don't we? Judas. Then Peter declares to Jesus that he would lay his life down for him, only to have Jesus say, "Well, guess what, mate? Right, you're probably one of my closest disciples, and you are actually going to deny me 3 times. 3 times. And twice Jesus declares that his soul is troubled. Is it any wonder? I would like to invite us to look at the first verse. There is so much in this reading, 1 to 14. Jesus leaving meant that he was going to prepare a place for us. How often have you heard that? He told us that he was the way, the truth, and the life in that passage. He told us that we would be able to do greater works than what he did himself. He told us that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And he promised that he would never leave us. So the first verse seems to me to be so special. I used it to do devotions for the PRC meeting last Sunday. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Really? If I asked you to describe a troubled heart, what would you say back? Worry? Concern? Sorry? Trouble? There's many things, isn't there? What gives you a troubled heart? Children. Your sister's health and their son. Concern about what's happening in our world? Concern maybe about what's happening to our young people these days? The economic situation? There's lots of people with a troubled heart after they found out that the interest rate went up again. There's lots of troubled hearts about whether or not they're going to be able to pay their mortgages or not. There's lots of troubled hearts about people's own health, relationships. And guess what? COVID hasn't left us. That's why Linda's not here. No, I meant to bring the shoebox back, because we started with the shoebox and the bees in the shoebox about belief. And it was made even more special when Chris said to Linda, you could have put a leaf in there so that it would become belief. PRC thought that was pretty special, Chris. So we're still talking about this word belief. It's almost as though Jesus in this verse 1 is giving the disciples and us a command. Like the command he gave us about that we should love one another as he has loved us. He says, let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God. In other words, if your heart is troubled, believe in God and believe also in me. I'm not trying to tell you this morning that your heart is never going to be troubled ever again, and that everything is going to be roses, and that you're not going to worry about the economy or your relationships or your friends or whatever gives you a troubled heart. Jesus is saying to his disciples, when I'm no longer with you, I still will be. So if your heart is troubled, believe. Think back on the relationship that I've had with you over the last 3 years. Remember the times that we had a meal with each other, just like we're going to do this morning. And what makes it possible for Jesus to still be able to say these words just after he knew that Judas was going to betray him and Peter was going to deny him? I think I shared on the Sunday that we talked about Thomas that I can testify to the fact that when I actually believe to be able to do that and believe in God, that it's possible to get this sense of peace. Last Tuesday week, I got up in the morning and my voice was back to normal, just like that. Friday was not a good day. You can ask Tom, I could hardly walk around. But I'm here. And sometimes we do exactly what Jesus is encouraging us to do we can experience a sense of peace that allows us to be open to what God can do in our lives. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. I am the one that is capable of healing you. A French poet and author, I'm sure that you will have heard his name, Victor Hugo, known for some of the best novels. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, if you've ever heard of that, I'm sure that you have, and Les Miserables. And this is what he says. He says, have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for the small ones. And when you have laboriously accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace because God is awake. Go to sleep in peace because God is awake. The wonder and good news of today's reading has the capacity to still our hearts and to know that God is God, to give us a sense of peace. In Peter, in the reading from 1 Peter, it reminds each one of us, as the Archbishop of Canterbury did last night, he reminded everybody there, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Indeed, you have tasted that the Lord is good, the reading says. Take hold of the heart I gave you and let it rest in peace. Why? Because God loves us, each and every one of us. I invite you to reflect on these two readings as we listen to a YouTube called Deep Peace. God's prayer for us. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.